the Stars Take Us, a Good Omens podfic written by Entangled Now and read by Chubb. This is a sequel to Where No Man Has Gone Before. It's been long enough that Aziraphale can't put it off anymore. A few hasty messages about investigating the other half of the planet had bought him a month, and then a quick stop at the Balloon Nebula to collect information for his research had bought him another. But Gabriel would get suspicious if Aziraphale put off the report on CR-666 any longer. He doesn't technically have to tell him anything. This ship belongs to him. But Gabriel would only find Aziraphale's uncharacteristic secrecy suspicious and be more interested in whatever he was doing as a result. He spends a long morning drafting the most boring paper he can, and then he sends it, burying it with a detailed analysis of some interesting moon formations and his theories on the asteroid belt between the two largest planets in the system. With any luck, Gabriel will assume that CR-666 wasn't worth his time, since Aziraphale was promptly distracted away from it, moving to investigate the rest of the system instead. He expects a wave back containing Gabriel's various complaints about the situation that he can work up to listening to in his cabin. He isn't expecting his former employer to actually request live communication. There are many things Aziraphale would rather do than talk to him, but he reasons that once he does, this whole system will be dropped forever from Gabriel's orbit of interest. Crowley's planet will be noted down somewhere as a barren wasteland with no minerals of worth. He just has to be convincing. But it turns out he had nothing to worry about. Gabriel wasn't calling to quiz him about the viability of mining on any of the planets he'd surveyed and explored. No, he was calling him to gloat. Aziraphale doesn't enjoy the conversation, but there is something reassuringly final about it. He has a desperate need for company afterwards and goes looking for Crowley. He finds him in the little hydroponics bay, using the sprayers to give Aziraphale's lettuces, tomatoes and radishes some water. He still practices the sound of human words on them sometimes. The ripples and vibrations and rhythms appear to be more difficult for him than the words themselves. But the learning clearly makes him happy. Even if it does seem to involve a bit of joyful shouting at the plants. They are sprayed automatically twice a day, Aziraphale reminds him, not for the first time. You don't have to do it. I like the water, Crowley offers with a slow stretching smile, his long fingers fluttering briefly into the spray. I haven't felt it since I drifted through space inside a comet, collecting water crystals on my outer surface. Crowley's history is almost unimaginable to Aziraphale, but he still loves hearing about it, the light years he traveled, and the things he'd seen before crashing down where Aziraphale found him. That must have been a long time ago. Long for you, Crowley says after a moment's thought. Did you talk?
I talked, Aziraphale confirms. I didn't say anything about you, though I'm sure Gabriel would like to know. I'm sure you'd be a very exciting discovery to half the fleet.
You didn't want to share. It's not a question, and there's a threat of something pleased under the words. Aziraphale flushes at the insinuation.
he wouldn't have appreciated you, he said simply. But it's true. He doesn't want to share. Crowley sets the sprayer down and turns to look at him. Aziraphale finds himself yet again marveling at how lovely he is. The long lines and hard angles of him just about passing for human, unless you look too closely, or peeled away the black clothes he'd fashioned for himself. Aziraphale had found the realization that Crowley was always technically naked terribly amusing. His hair is a shade of red that reminds him of the planet where they met. Where the drift of dust had coated his gloves the same color. Where Crowley had saved him from a terrifying fall and made a form for himself so he could reach a hand out to Aziraphale's nervously raised one. He'd fallen in love with him instantly. Rather dramatic of him, he will admit. Crowley's eyes are liquid orange-yellow under the bright lights, constantly moving in a way it's very easy to get lost in. Drifting flecks of darkness tumble in them like stars, and Aziraphale wants to reach out for him, but he's trying to practice restraint. Instead, he contents himself with standing at his shoulder, his warmth pressed to Crowley's shirt, which moves faintly in a way that a shirt definitely shouldn't.
Are you sure the rest of you will be all right on the planet?
It had taken him a while to learn that all the pools on the planet were Crowley in some way. He doesn't reproduce sexually like humans do. He simply keeps acquiring mass until eventually a piece is big enough to separate from the whole and make a pool of its own. But all of those pools are somehow also him. Yes, it's good not to be all in the same place, and I haven't explored in a long time. His hand catches hold of Aziraphale's, fingers sliding between his own. I've never had anyone to explore with. Crowley makes restraint very hard, non-existent sometimes. Aziraphale leans closer, touching the healthy leaves of the plants that Crowley seems to find fascinating. There was no flora on CR-666. Who knows how long it's been since Crowley saw leaves? Aziraphale will make as many for him as he wants.
Are there pieces of you in other places too? On other planets?
Yes, Crowley confirms, his nose wrinkling in a way that Aziraphale had caught him practicing. He finds expressions fascinating and seems to want all of them. But too far to talk to. I haven't heard them for a long time. Aziraphale isn't sure how Crowley feels about the other parts of himself. He hasn't known the right words to use to ask, or how to refer to them exactly when asking. Crowley speaks well enough now, but it's still difficult for him to explain things about himself. Perhaps the words simply don't exist in any human language.
Do you want to see where we are going next?
Aziraphale offers instead.
We'll be very close to a nebula that has an incredible array of colors. Red, green, and gold. The first time I saw it up close, it reminded me of you.
Crowley turns into him, his legs almost an afterthought. He gives a tug on their joined hands, as if to remind himself that they are holding each other, the feel of which seems to make him happy. Aziraphale's noticed that he's getting better at bones. They feel almost exactly right. I want to see, he says simply. Aziraphale keeps hold of his hand as they take the short corridors back to the forward module. The view screen is on, showing a field of tiny lights and streaks of faraway color. Crowley watches it for a moment.
What's out there that excites you?
He asks. Aziraphale smiles and gestures for the view screen to bring up what he was looking at earlier.
There's a planet near here, which has a series of mysterious archway features that don't look like natural formations.
He releases Crowley's hand to move closer to the images, reaching out to pull more onto the screen. They show dark curves of rock standing upright from the ground.
They're hundreds of thousands of years old. I've always wanted to study them, to see if there's anything I can add to the body of evidence about them so far.
I'll come, Crowley says immediately. We'll explore them together.
I would love it if you came with me.
Aziraphale struck by a sudden thought.
There might be others there, but I think there are some sungassers in the recreation packages. You look very stylish in them. I think you like the planet, though. It's warm. The atmosphere is supposed to be quite nice, if a little dry. Though I suppose you're rather more durable than I am. I can't imagine the weather bothers you too much.
He feels so silly planning so much of their future already, but he's never been this happy.
I like the warm, Crowley agrees from the space just behind Aziraphale's ear.
He tucked in behind him while he'd be lost in the pictures from Cygnus 47. And he thinks nothing of wrapping his arms around Aziraphale. It's difficult to protest that when he enjoys it so much. They've barely known each other for a few months, and they are as different as it's possible to be. But no one has ever looked at him the way Crowley does.
A shower before dinner, I think, and then make a plan for the first survey trip. No interference from Gabriel this time either. I think he's finally stopped hoping I'm his route to fame and fortune.
Crowley leans down and makes a disgruntled noise into his hair. He doesn't approve of Gabriel. He follows Aziraphale when he leaves the controls on autopilot and heads for the bathroom in his quarters. It's much nicer than the others on the ship, but still carefully designed to maximize the space. Aziraphale admits he had splurged a little by having a large bath installed too. More of a jacuzzi design, to be honest, since it was tucked into a corner. But it's a wonderful indulgence after a long day of kneeling in the dust looking for life, or excavating bones from a damp cave in a full environment suit. Crowley sits on the curving white side of it, while Aziraphale debates whether he wants to use apple shampoo or citrus. He's a fan of the bath as well. It's just about big enough to contain him when he changes shape, which he does fairly regularly. Crowley slips so easily between having a bipedal shape and becoming the strange shifting mass of non-Newtonian fluid that appears to be his original form. Is it still non-Newtonian fluid if Crowley has perfect control over it? He's sure someone could answer the question, but it's rather beyond him. Crowley sometimes slithers in here when Aziraphale sleeps, flowing from one side to the other, his long feelers investigating the texture of the walls. He seems to find it pleasant, and that's enough for Aziraphale. Sometimes Aziraphale will join him. He hadn't intended to today. They'd enjoyed each other while watching the stars last night, and it seems greedy to demand so much. A shower will refresh him perfectly well. But Crowley must sense something in the way he slowly undresses, because after Aziraphale turns back from hanging up his shirt, the bath is full to the brim with shifting black liquid, twisting dark tendrils stretching out to pull at his hands in invitation. Aziraphale can't help but laugh. "I was going to be good, you patient thing. Fine, let me get my clothes off first, you beast." His hair is ruffled, the bare curve of his back stroked by a fluttering mass of eager strands, and his buttocks indulgently patted while he peels his trousers down his legs and tucks them off, along with his socks.
"You're a menace. If I'd known how insatiable you were in that cave, I would have..."
Black tentacles wind around his wrist and waist and pull him gently towards the lip of the bath, until his words break into laughter again.
"All right, I'm coming."
He leaves the last of his clothes on a soft mat and lifts a leg over the edge. Tendrils of Crowley's form stretch and twist upwards, circling the muscle of his calf and drawing it gently into his depths. Aziraphale lets him take his time. He knows Crowley enjoys the first slow sink into him. There's some unique pleasure in it for him. The black oil that is his original form is slippery, viscous. It clings and leaves a wet residue, but doesn't adhere to his skin. Crowley currently has the consistency of thick paint, but he's pleasantly warm on naked skin, and there's a faint static tingle, which Aziraphale has come to suspect is something a bit like excitement for Crowley. An urge to envelop him, to explore, to draw Aziraphale deeper inside himself. Complex concepts are still difficult between them sometimes, but the hunger for each other has always been obvious without words. Aziraphale brings the other leg in and sinks into Crowley's form, feels him accept the mass of him into the center of himself. The oil rises slowly up his body, stretches over his stomach, chest and shoulders to loop around his neck. He can feel the movement of it as it flows around him, squeezes and conforms to every curve. Aziraphale's whole body feels weightless. He feels held and protected.
"You feel lovely," he tells Crowley. "You always feel lovely."
He dips his hand into the oil, watches it grip his fingers as he gently stretches the black substance of Crowley's body upwards. The tendril connecting it to the main body grows thinner and thinner.
"It's all right. I won't take it far. Let me."
Crowley thrusts him enough to let it break, doesn't tuck it back towards him instantly, but lets Aziraphale lift it to his mouth and lay his lips on it. Before he lowers it back to the bath, where it flows back into the hole, bring that brief moment of sensation with it. Aziraphale wonders if his own needs had felt as strange at the start, or whether they meet in the middle somewhere, in the desire to be inside each other, to be enveloped and explored. Learning about each other has been such a wonderful gift. So strange and exciting, and yes, sometimes a little embarrassing when he was urged to voice what he wanted. the secret things he'd dreamed of. But they might never have had this without both of them tentatively reaching out. To be naked in Crowley's slow-moving, slickly pulling warmth is a delight. He can feel the way Crowley squeezes at different parts of him, his stomach, thighs and buttocks, his curled toes, the slowly lifting cock that's already buried as deep inside Crowley as he could get. Which is why he doesn't protest when Crowley draws his thighs apart in the bath, changing the density of himself around them until it feels like being grasped by hands underwater. The liquid of Crowley ripples when Aziraphale draws his thighs up in mute request. Given permission, Crowley spills against the shape of his buttocks and his heavy balls, the heat of him there considerably more than his outer surface. Aziraphale feels the slick shapes that slide and prod, and finally push at his anus, working their way inside as he huffs and moans and grasps for the edges of the bath. Crowley feels the vibration of every sound flowing up against the sides of his face to caress him. A flutter of thin shapes that stroke at his cheeks and mouth, seeking reassurance that what he's doing is right, that it's pleasurable. Until Aziraphale lifts a hand to let the oil thread and twist between his fingers, squeezing gently in reply.
Yes, that's perfect. It's good. You can keep going.
The liquid moves in a bath in slow waves, the bits that spill over the side immediately pulling themselves back like a magic trick. Aziraphale feels himself adjusted beneath the surface, hips tilting forward, thighs spreading wider so the tendrils can push in further, twisting around each other to stretch the tightness of his rim, until one of his ankles is slowly drawn up, his pale knee clearing the black liquid as slightly thicker tentacles work their way into him.
Crowley! Ah! That's it!
The shapes push against the resistance of his hole, stretching him until it aches, one and then two, thickening as they slide deeper into him. He is riding the very edge of comfort, full to the brim, the tight, hot stretch of his body leaving him gasping.
That's it! And no more, my love.
Aziraphale's thighs are shaking, the pressure exquisite, the shifting collection of squirming tendrils inside him so thick that every slow twist sends his nerves into spasm. His prostate rolls pleasure through him with every nudging push. When Crowley finally starts slowly drawing free, Aziraphale moans loss, only to lose his breath in a half-wail when that thick mass plunges back inside. It happens again and then again, until he's panting, head tipped back, staring at the reflective ceiling while his whole body jolts and bounces in the black liquid of his lover. He's torn between trying to move and just holding his knees up and taking it, letting Crowley have his way with him. His slick fingers grasp for the edge of the bath instead and grip tight, so he can float in the dull pleasure of being pounded without pause. He wants to feel the echoes of Crowley inside him tomorrow. He wants to remember this moment of suspension and bliss. He moans when what feels like a hand caresses the hidden jut of his cock, the head stroked and massaged before a wet tendril carefully stretches the hole at the tip open and probes inside, in a way that has his balls tugging up sharply.
Ah, Crowley! You'll make me come!
Crowley doesn't seem to care, sliding inside. A tickling, throbbing burn as the pressure sinks, gently twisting and swelling to touch the inside of him. It matches the rhythm of Crowley's tentacles, the slick, driving pushes that he can't quite clench down on. Shuddering moans fall free as Aziraphale is taken so deeply and so thoroughly that he can't feel anything else. Both movements into him are slick and rough, so close to overwhelming that it already feels like an edge he will tip over. Aziraphale can barely support himself, and when his hands fall away from the sides to press into Crowley's mass, the liquid stiffens behind him to hold him up.
Don't stop! Don't stop!
It's blissful, though there's already the phantom echo of an ache in his overwhelmed anus and quivering stings in the flow down inside his cock, pressing where he's already too sensitive, until it all heats together into a moment of exquisite pleasure. He's left shaking inside Crowley, as Crowley moves around him and inside him, his whole body spread open for Aziraphale. The thought is so beautifully strange and so perfect. He can feel himself coming in long pulses, sharp and sensitive and sweet. He lays inside Crowley for a moment, fingers stroking through him, panting quietly as the shivers of orgasm fade, feeling warm and very well cared for. Crowley withdraws from his body, leaving him empty, a pleasured thing on display.
"What do you need, my love?" he asks sleepily, refusing to submit to lassitude until his lover is satisfied. "What can I do for you?"
Crowley's mass crawls towards him, spreads between his fingers, and then separates. He does it again, and then again.
"Ah, I remember that you like this."
Aziraphale obediently plunges his hands into the bath, drawing them out so Crowley slithers between the gaps of his fingers, the skin of him stretching. Aziraphale holds the threads of him, watching them thin as they slide over the edges. And then he lowers his hands back into Crowley's body before they snap. He does it again and then again, a slow repetition, urging the pieces of Crowley that drift at his center, vulnerable parts that hold memory and sensation closer to him. The surface changes viscosity, swirling around him, quivering at every drive of his fingers.
"You tell me when you're ready to break,"
Aziraphale says quietly, giving the words a low, suggestive tone and enjoying the way the dark surface of his lover ripples excitedly in answer. It's an almost soothing movement, dipping in and stretching him out, watching the gaps appear between, feeling the slide of him, the glossy shine of the beautiful alien he loves.
"You lovely thing! I could separate parts of you out and keep them with me."
Crowley's body sloshes against Aziraphale's chest, spreading black to his chin and briefly splashing his mouth at the suggestion.
"You like the idea?"
He spends a moment just swirling his fingers in Crowley's mass, watching the oil shine and shift.
"That I might take them to bed with me at night
and shape them however I wished. Crowley's form stiffens the next time his fingers push in, and he's much heavier to pull upwards. But the whole of him is vibrating, the surface never still. Aziraphale lifts, let the tendril stretch, and then keeps going. Crowley goes thin, the strings vibrating, before they all snap at once. The black liquid collapses into the bath, sloshing back and forth, with no direction at all, before going still. Aziraphale strokes the mass of slippery oil in his hands, fingers playing with it for a moment, before he settles it against his chest and lets it roll back down his skin to join the rest.
Are you still with me, my love?
Crowley gives a brief slosh and then tucks him down a little in the bath, squeezing at his arms and legs and chest, like he never wants to let go. The end. Thank you.